Simtek CD Productions presents Mufti Ismail Menk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, we begin. The name of Allah, who is most compassionate, most merciful. الحمد لله رب العالمين. Praise is due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, Lord of the worlds. وبه نستعين. In His name, do we seek help. والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Salutations upon our beloved Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and all those who are his companions, those who have followed them, are following them and will follow them until قيامة. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. O Allah, we do not have knowledge besides that which you have granted us, for indeed you are most knowledgeable and most wise. اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتديت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. O Allah, guide us and guide through us and use us in order to guide others. Make us a means of guidance for one and all. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن بطن لا يشبع ومن دعاء لا يسمع. O Allah, we seek protection from knowledge that is of no use, from eyes that will not cry for your sake, from a heart that will not fear you, from a stomach that will not be filled, from a soul that will not be content, and from a dua that we make to you that will not be accepted. My dear brothers and sisters, a few moments ago, I rendered a short qira'ah, and I feel we need to ask Allah's forgiveness. The reason is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being recited, be very silent, extremely silent, dead silent. Listen, concentrate, so that mercy may descend upon you. We were making a noise. What a disgrace. Let us spend a moment of silence asking Allah's forgiveness for having insulted Him, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. I want to put forward something very important. I did not scream, I did not shout, but I got you quiet, didn't I? Alhamdulillah. So what I want to say is, there are many ways of educating people and of achieving what you would like to achieve. I greeted you 5-6 times, and I want to tell you why. Because I wanted you to be silent. That's it. And I think every time I said assalamu alaikum, 10 or 20 people were quiet. We felt the noise going down. It's an insult to listen to the words of Allah, to listen to the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst speaking. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that at least now that we've reminded the people, they have taken heed, myself included. I am one of you. I am a human being, similar age, similar background. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. And I wish to remind you of something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. and remind. For definitely the reminding assists the true believers. Thank Allah, we are true believers. We were reminded a moment ago and immediately it helped us. Allahu Akbar. That is a sign that you have iman in your heart, and so do I, inshallah. And so do all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. We have seen that ayah in motion today, where you were told to remain silent for the sake of Allah. The guilt that must have come to your heart came to mine as well. That guilt is a sign of acceptance, a sign of the flicker of iman in my heart and your hearts. إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. If your good deed makes you happy and your bad deed makes you regret, you are a true believer. Because you believe that there is someone that I am answerable to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Education, the future of the Islamic Ummah. Not only is it the future of the Ummah, but those who enjoyed leadership in the past, it was through education that they led not only the Muslim Ummah, but the entire world. This means that those who were in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time, they were not babies. When he presented Islam, he did not go to little babies to present Islam, but he went to adults. And we know them, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and the likes. They accepted iman and they learned a thing or two. At what age? When they were well into their adulthood, is that not correct? That means it is our duty to make sure that we do not stop learning from the beginning to the end. If we stop for a split moment, we are heading in the wrong direction. Al-ilmu bahrun la sahila lah. Knowledge is an ocean. Not only the knowledge of deen, but any beneficial knowledge is an ocean that has no coast. The minute you think, I know, that means you feel you've arrived at a coast. That means what you have is not genuine knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Look, I must qualify my statement. The word ilm is used not only to refer to Islamic knowledge, but any knowledge that is beneficial is Islamic knowledge. Why do I say that? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is reported by the Sahaba, مَا تَرَكَ خَيْرًا إِلَّا وَدَلَّنَا عَلَيْهِ وَلَا شَرًّا إِلَّا حَذَّرَنَا مِنْهِ. There is no goodness that he has forgotten to teach us. Let me tell you, he taught us science, he taught us biology, he taught us mathematics, he taught us geography, he taught us everything. In fact, the topic of sex education was discussed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a very dignified manner within specific frameworks, or a specific framework. So all this is not new to us as Muslims. You want to learn something in any topic, open the Quran, look at what the Quran says. The thing is, we are blind. We say we are Muslims, but we have not struck the correct balance between Islam and the secular education outside. We have divorced them. That is the problem. So we are good lawyers, doctors and everything, but at times if we lack iman and Islam and good character and conduct in the process, we have only attained half. That half will help us in the dunya, not in the akhirah. But if you are a brilliant doctor, lawyer, accountant, professor, what have you, and you have akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only will you achieve success in this half, but even in the other. So therefore, every time you listen to a talk, or you go to a school, or you teach, or whatever your profession is, you must ask yourself, how have I excelled this day? Every day you must have learned a thing or two, especially when it comes to development of character and conduct. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us something which today the American schools are fighting. I spoke to a gentleman 2 days ago at a conference that we were attending, the conference, the educational annual conference that was being spoken about a few moments ago. And he agreed with me that there is a problem in the United States of America of morality, character, and conduct. Because they have concentrated on the secular education alone. And for this reason, we must thank Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in fact, above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having sent him to us. Allahumma salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Indeed, he is the messenger. Salutations and greetings upon him. He taught us that to smile is an act of worship. The reward of a smile is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will guide people to Islam through that smile of yours. To think before you speak and to carefully select the words you use in your own home with your own children is a great act of worship, which no religion has regarded as an act of worship besides Islam. Similarly, when it comes to the way you do your business, to abstain from those dealings that are unbecoming of a Muslim, those dealings that are unacceptable. To be honest, straightforward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. When the two parties are honest and straightforward, they've put all their cards on the table, no hidden factors, Allah will grant them barakah in their deal. وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا. If they have hidden something, if they are deceitful, then the barakah that was coming towards the deal will be snatched away, which means there is barakah in every deal, but it is either forwarded or snatched, delivered or taken away. We know in our mobile phones we have message delivered and we smile to say they got it, subhanallah. So why is this reward taken away? Because of the type of dealings we have accustomed ourselves to today. Many of us think very carefully. Many of us, our dealings are unacceptable in Islam. And that is why a million rands come and how they went, you don't know. You squeezed it out of the people and Allah squeezes it out of you in turn. But sometimes you can earn 500 rands and the barakah of that is such that you will spend it and you will have achieved so much with that amount because there is barakah from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal directed to you because of your dealings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So to give someone a discount is an act of worship if you have the right intention. If you have the right intention. We are not going into that today, but I am educating you and myself and reminding, for indeed I started with the verse. Remind, for indeed the reminding helps the believers and we witnessed it in this hall today. So remember, there are people who are engaged in serving deen in different ways. And can I give you the good news? Every single one of you, Allah is using you and has used you to serve Islam directly in one way or another. So thank Allah for that. I guarantee you, whoever you are, whatever you've been doing, even if you are a student, Allah has not only given you the opportunity, but He is using you in whatever He wants to use you for the service of this deen. Sometimes our service becomes a little bit negative because of our own attitudes. But sometimes and mostly, we are serving without knowing that we are serving. That is why ponder. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so vast that he built with his own hands. So the bricklayer is engaging in a sunnah, the bricklayer. The one who is a plumber is engaging in the sunnah because it is reported in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also dug a trench, not only once, a few times, in order to let the water go by. Is that not plumbing? Subhanallah. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you did not know. You went into it thinking, I am earning a rand or two. So let's rectify and correct our intentions from this day on. I said this morning and I am sharing it with you, that every single one of you are a tooth from the millions of teeth on the large cog that is rotating in order for Islam to actually work on this globe, subhanallah. If one of you is removed from the equation, then it may affect those around you. I give you an example. Some people are not ulama. Not everyone is an alim. Some of us think the ulama are the only ones serving deen. Those who go out for tabligh are the only ones serving deen. Those who build the masjids are the only ones serving deen. How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam get a proposal of marriage with Khadija binti Khuwaylid radiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen? He worked for her. He was employed by her. He went out to Syria and he came back with the largest profits, and his accounts were to the T. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be an accountant. Allahu Akbar. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to import, export. He went to Syria, he imported things, he exported things. Did we know this? You go to Dubai, you go to Hong Kong, you go to China, go with an intention to say, I'm a Muslim, I want to serve Islam in one way or another with a certain percentage of my wealth. And I'm going here fulfilling a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let me teach you one thing else for those who are going abroad. Everywhere you go, every city you go, try and hunt for the ulama. No matter how low you might feel you are, how useless deeny-wise you might feel you are, go to the masjid as a Muslim and ask them, who is your imam? Who is your scholar? Say you went to China, to a masjid where you cannot speak the language. Ask them, alim, ulama. Just say those words, they will understand. Imam, they will lead you to him. Go to him, tell him, respected alim, or however you want to address him, imam, I have come to the city of yours for business. I have arrived today, inshallah, I will be leaving once my business is over. You don't have to give them precise dates, but I would like you to make dua for me, and I would like you to bless me. Meaning to make dua that Allah blesses me. And then go and see how your deal works. And maybe on your way out, you can pay a courtesy call to the masjid again. Make 2 rakat salah, read your farad salah, and tell the imam, make dua for us. If you know of a scholar in that area, go out to meet him. How long does it take? You can go all the way to China in order to buy, say, clothes, and you will spend hours on end, and you have not been to see the masjid, the house of Allah. That house where had you put your head on the ground, wallahi, the hadith says, every spot you have put the head on your head on your ground will come out on the day of Qiyamah and say, Ya Allah, this person, I bear witness that he has laid his head on the ground for your sake, and I was that ground, accept that sajda from him. You went to China, you went to Hong Kong, you went to Indonesia, you went to America, you went to Europe, all those little pieces of land will come and bear witness for you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. So, my message here is we can adopt the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one way or another. Yes, there is something outward, an outward sunnah, but of equal importance is the inward sunnah. Some argue that start with the outward and get inside. And some argue that that is hypocritical. Start with the inside and get outside. I am saying start with any one of the two, but start. We cannot debate this issue for long. We are Muslims. We share La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is our ticket to Jannah. We share it, all of us. Why must I be jealous of you as a businessman when you are doing better than me and employ thugs to come and destroy your business? A'udhu billah. What barakah do you want with your wife at home and your children? Today, the problem in the Muslim ummah, I've mentioned it this morning and I repeat it, is something known as professional jealousy. In any field, the Muslims have the biggest problem, starting with the ulama. Going down to the businessmen, the teachers, those who go out in the path of Allah, those who build masjids, we are competing with one another. Min alamati sa'ati an yatabaha an-nasu fil masajid. One of the signs of Qiyamah is you compete with people regarding your masjid, one another. My masjid this, my masjid has 5 inches of carpet, yours only has 4.5. I beat you by 0.5. What is that? Why do you want to advertise, come to my masjid, not to theirs? For what? Are they not the houses of Allah? Or is it your house? If it is yours, thank you for telling us, we will not come there. So these are the reminders we need. Let us not engage in this type of jealousy that is destroying the entire ummah. Spread rumors of this person, try and do that one down, try and do the other one down, just because they have excelled and beat you in something. Make dua for them, and remember Allah will grant them even more through your dua. On the day of Qiyamah, you will be above them, and they will then understand that they got what they got because you spent time in dua to say, Ya Allah, you gave him 30,000 rands profit on that deal, give him 60,000 rands profit on that deal. That 30,000 that he spent towards the Islamic cause, you got the reward. Allahu Akbar. But we have become very narrow-minded. We are so stingy. Ya ayyuhal insanu hal tabki lima abkani ara'ayta madha qad hasal fil alamil hayrani. A poet says, oh people, do you cry for the same reasons I cry? Can you not see what is going on in this ummah that is confused? That is the problem. We should be crying for the condition of the ummah today. And do you know what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will never transform a nation for as long as the individuals of that nation do not transform themselves. So begin with yourself, begin now. How do we begin? By understanding that Allah is using you. I was saying, sometimes you can be a businessman. You don't have knowledge, you don't have this, you don't have that. By maybe Allah has used you through your wealth. If it was not for you, some Islamic work may have just stopped. So thank Allah, I'm a person, I might not have so many sunnahs, but I've spent in the right cause. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, and I'm giving you an example. There was a well in Madinatul Munawwara. I'm not going into the details, but he said, who will buy this well and Allah will give them Jannah in return? One of the richest men whose laqab or one of his names is Al-Ghani. He, not Al-Ghani, but Ghani. Uthman Ghani, we know him as that. Why? Ghani means the rich. And I know there might be a few Ghanis sitting here as well. Not only in terms of rich, but name as well. So you share the same name. Live up to it. May Allah grant us that. He came out and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am buying that well. Uthman adhin Nurayn radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you bought Jannah. You have bought Jannah with your money, subhanallah. What does this hadith mean? Some of us might be businessmen. Maybe we feel we've lost hope because we've done no good deeds in our life. Let me give you the light. Spend in the path of Allah, and maybe Allah will grant you Jannah because of the one major financial transaction towards Islam that was made, was actually securing your palace in Jannah. And if you are going to be stingy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use someone else. What I mean here, sometimes what happens, our wealth is filthy. I gave that example this morning again. Our wealth is dirty. Our tongues are dirty. Our character is un-Islamic. We do not want to adopt the Islamic rules when it comes to inheritance, when it comes to child custody in the case of divorce, and so on, and in the case of death sometimes. And then we want to use our wealth to build a masjid. Does Allah want that wealth? Let's be honest. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, He makes you have a dispute with a trustee. You did not choose to do that. It's Allah who does. He wants to reject you and kick you out of the masjid and kick your wealth out. He does not want to use your wealth in the cause of Islam, in educating the masses, in the different works of Islam. So what happens? You had an argument with a trustee, with the imam, with the muadhin. You had a disagreement. You blew your top. I will never give these guys a cent again. And you are happy, proudly thinking that their masjid is going to stop, not realizing as you walked out, you used to give 1 million rands a month or a year. Someone walked in and said, I will give you 2 million rands a year. And you were rejected and booted and kicked out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are proud of the fact. May Allah protect us from that. For this reason, it is important to keep up the good work that you are doing always. And today I'm stressing on financial. The financial assistance, why? We can all assist in a big way or in a small way. We all have a rand or half a rand. Don't we? If we didn't, I don't think we would have been here tonight. Not only should we give out zakah, inna fil mali lahaqqan law lahaqqun ghayra az-zakah. Indeed, in the wealth, there is another duty besides zakah. So let us understand this. And why I say this, I'd like to give yet another example. And I'm repeating a few of the points that I mentioned this morning because they are relevant. If we have a house or this particular hall, for example, mashallah, we have the electrics here, we have the tiling on the floor, we have the glazing, we have the brickwork, we have the painting, everything. Was it one man who did it? No. You have a plumber who did his job. You have the tiler who did his job. The bricklayer did his job. Everyone did their jobs. Can the tiler come and say, I am the one who built this building? Can he? Can he? No. Can the electrician say that? No, he cannot. Can the bricklayer who might have done the bulk of the work say that? No. But all of them collectively can come and say, we contributed and alhamdulillah, this building is up. The architect was so and so, the contractor was so and so. The architect of this deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are just the little tiler, the electrician, the man who's done the sound. May Allah grant him also a healthy life and happiness. And maghfirah to all those family members of him who may have passed away. A dua. So if one comes and says, it's me, we cannot do without him, but he is wrong. He is wrong. And if Allah rejects him, we'll phone someone else. The same applies in deen. You are being used, every one of you. The minute you have proper iman, Allah uses you in one way or another. A person on drugs, how does Allah use that person? It's a question. Some people might say, look, me, I've got this problem. How is Allah using me? Well, think very carefully. If you have that correct iman that I spoke about, you will regret your actions, number one. Those who smoke, they do not want their children to smoke. Smoking, to me, is like a person on drugs, but a lighter drug. It's the beginning. May Allah protect us. Believe me, I'm very strict and staunch about smoking. I used to say, I feel sorry for the wives of those who smoke, until some of the husbands came to me and said, you know, you should mention the other thing also. Some of our wives actually smoke. And I said, what? So now I've got to say, I feel sorry for the husbands of those women who smoke. I swear, think about it. Look in the mirror, especially the women folk. Put that thing near your mouth and look at what you look like. It is ugly. May Allah save us. Extremely ugly. So bad that, you know, let me not say it. But these are the bad habits. If you have a bad habit and you are unfortunately addicted, firstly, try and cut down for the sake of Allah. That is a jihad. Allah is using you. Why? People will learn from your example, even without you talking. Another thing, you will always tell your children, don't smoke, but you might be a smoker. You might be addicted to it. May Allah save us all, and may He protect those who are addicted to give it up slowly. I don't hate you. No, no, no. I will talk to you, and believe me, I love you equally for the sake of Allah and solely and only for His sake. So then when a person helps himself and he comes out of the habit and others see that this man was like this, now he is like that, it gives hope to the others who are on drugs, doesn't it? Allah used you as a typical example. Dr. Jiva is sitting here. He is the example himself. He says, I was on it. Not once, but twice. Today I am proud to say Allah has saved me. Maybe by the du'as of my mother. I remember this. And today he is, exactly as I said, being used by Allah. May Allah accept him. And the same applies to anyone. I mean, we have so much in Islamic activity that is going on in one way or another. Do we not fit in somewhere? Come on. The minimum is through your wealth, which is very easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. And we must understand also that always try and improve yourselves. I will not go into details. And I will not go into some of the things I had actually planned to go into. Because I firmly believe that sometimes you plan something as a speaker, and when you stand in front of everyone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses something slightly different, and He inspires you at times. And at times it is important that when something important comes to your mind, you can drift from the points you may have made if you feel there are other points that have come to you which are more relevant. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. So I commenced by saying education is not just the future of this Muslim ummah, but study the history of this ummah. Any time we were educated in any field and we were true Muslims in the process, we achieved leadership of most of the world. Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, for your information, ruled so much of the world that today if you take a map and make a circle, there are 35 countries there. Subhanallah. No phones, no nothing. 35 countries. And it is reported that when his name was mentioned, people shook thousands of miles away because they knew this man, Allah has inspired him with something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return that glory to the Muslim ummah. Let me tell you how it will be returned, and then I will close. It will be returned when we are professional Muslims. Not professionals on its own, and not Muslims on its own or on their own, but professionals and Muslims. Even if you are an alim, you must be a professional and a Muslim. You must understand, if you are a doctor, you are a Muslim firstly. Where is that identity? Where is it? It is not too late. Make an intention here and now, and inshallah, you will find the doors opening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the best of the dunya and the akhirah. Wallahi, I tell you, the day you leave, you will be from amongst those whom a poet makes mention of when he says, O son of Adam, live your life in such a way. Or, to begin with, when you were born, you came to this world crying, and those around you were smiling in happiness. So live your life in such a way that when you die, you will leave this world smiling, and those around you will be crying at the loss. That is our aim. And how will we leave smiling? Do you think Malikul Maut will make you smile when you've never been a proper Muslim in your life? But if you have an intention today and now that, Ya Allah, I will leave my bad ways, I will become of the best character and conduct, I will abstain from shady deals, and I will abstain from this jealousy and from all these different problems of the ummah, and I will become a transformed person myself. If you die 5 minutes later, inshallah, you go straight to Jannah. Because إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Definitely all actions will be judged by their underlying intentions. And for every person is that which he has intended. What does that mean? For every person already is that which he has intended. I intended to make Salatul Fajr in a certain masjid, and I died 5 minutes before that, the reward is written. Why? Because for every person is what he has intended to do. You intend now to rectify yourself, and you really and positively and genuinely would like to do that, there is no reason why you should not smile for the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to serve this deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not reject our wealth. May He not reject us. May He make us from those who are generous. Remember, you can spend so many rands on your vehicle, on your home, on your this, on your that. How long is that going to help you for? But you spend a rand or two to educate a deaf person, or to engage in any activity that is Islamic in one way or another, humanitarian, you are building your palace in the akhirah. So I want to tell you, think carefully. I spent 500,000 rands on my car, 1,000,000 rands on my house, so many million. How much have I spent? I've spent 30, 40, 50 in your life, 1,000,000,000 rands maybe, food and clothing and everything put together. That is for 30 years only. Have I spent an equal amount for the more important life? My house there may cost me 2 billion. What happened? I am prepared for another 10 years of my life, 20 years of my life, to spend 1,000,000,000 rands to make my life comfortable. Make your akhirah comfortable by spending at every opportunity. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Simtech CDs. Get the latest 2006 lectures. Maulana Sulaiman Mulla speaks on avoiding bankruptcy, the wisdom of Allah, respect and mannerism, the obligation of Quran, guidelines for teachers and parents, five great women in Islam, and more than 100 lectures available on audio or MP3. Plus the all new titles by Maulana Sulaiman Mulla, Salah in the Life of a Believer and A Role Model for Youth. Maulana Ahmad Sulaiman Katani speaks on the dignity of the Ummah, the appreciation of life and time, the rewards of Hajj, and the power of concentration in Salah, with more than 120 hours of lectures available on MP3. Mufti Ismail Meg 2006. The Role of Parents. Recognize Your Creator and Abd al-Dunya, Slave of the World. An all-new Cape Town 2006 release. Also by Mufti Meg. Family Rights, It's Time for Change, Searching for the Light, Musa alayhi salam. Two Jum'ah lectures, Increase Salam, Feed the Poor, Join Family Ties, and The Meaning of Dhikr. Get all Mufti Meg's Tarawih lectures from 2003 on MP3. Sheikh Anwar Awlaki from the USA with informative titles like Allah is Preparing Us for Victory, 25 Promises to the Believers, Quran, The Book of Tolerance, The Story of the Bull, Giving and Investing in the Hereafter, and many more outstanding titles available on MP3.
Simtech CD Productions, bringing the sound of Islam to you.
Simtech Islamic CDs, South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer.